Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. It is we're coming to you on Saturday, actually, a special Saturday show. Actually, going to do a couple of shows for you today. Want to talk about a few more prospects that you know the Grizzlies could theoretically go after in the 2020 NBA draft. And I've had some fun, you know, really diving in to the prospects that we've talked about so far. We've talked about Tyler Bay. We've talked about Amir Yurtseven. We've stayed in the front court, but today we're going to shift to the backcourt. Now, I just did a whole series about, you know, the Grizzlies' backcourt. We've talked about, you know, the fact that there is, you know, it's crowded there, you know, and right now there it's more quantity instead of quality, in my opinion, outside of Ja Morant. But however, you know, the thing about it is the Grizzlies, though, are still in a rebuilding phase to where, you know, even though they may have plenty of options in the backcourt, they definitely should not deny the opportunity to add talent when they can. And so we're actually going to focus on the point guard position, and we're going to focus on Oregon senior point guard Peyton Pritchard. In the first segment, I'm going to talk about what makes Peyton Pritchard so much fun to watch, so much fun to talk about. We're going to talk about that in the second segment. Going to dive a little bit into his stats. There's plenty to like about Peyton Pritchard's game. And in the third segment, okay, so why are we targeting a point guard when, you know, me and others have talked so much about how we arguably have one of the best duos of point guards right now in the NBA. Well, there's still some sense, I think, in focusing on Pritchard if the Grizzlies feel he is the most talented guy on the board at 40. Before we do that, I want to let you know where we are. You know, you can find me on Twitter at StatsSAC. You can find the show at Locked On Grizz, and you can find the podcast anywhere podcasts are available. Stitcher, Spotify, the podcast app on your iPhone, wherever it may be. And I know it's the offseason. We probably have some new listeners. So you may ask, who am I? And if you didn't ask, well, there's nothing wrong with a little friendly introduction. My name's Sean Coleman. I've been covering the Grizzlies for a little over 2 years. I write over at Grizzly Bear Blues. You can find my takes about the Grizzlies, the Braves, the Vols, the Titans, sports in general on Twitter at StatsSAC. Podcasting-wise, I started over at the 3&D Podcast, did that independently, went through the GBB Network, and came over here in April with Mark King. Ever since then, Mark has gone his separate way, and I now am proudly your sole host as the Locked On Grizzlies for the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. I cherish every opportunity I get to do this because it's an opportunity for me to talk my passions with other people who are passionate about sports and the Grizzlies. And speaking of passion, that is the thing that just jumps out about Peyton Pritchard. A little background on how I was introduced to the Oregon point guard, probably one of the best, you know, Oregon Ducks and most beloved Oregon Ducks in the history of the franchise. A couple of years ago, I was watching, you know, one thing that I missed about college sports, you know, now that we're back into the swing of things with football, is what they call Pac-12 after dark. You know, especially when it comes to football, you know, you're winding down on a Saturday. It's probably been a busy day. Even if you have watched college football, you just want to relax and watch football for entertainment. Well, you know, in the past, those Pac-12 after dark games were a lot of fun. Well, in basketball, they also were a lot of fun. And for one reason is, of course, you know, legendary Bill Walton, not only on the court, but just with the personality he is, his narrative style always makes things fun. But a few years back, I found myself watching a late night matchup between the Oregon Ducks and the Washington Huskies. And the game was, you know, between them, I think that it was in December. I can't remember what time of the year it was. Maybe it was in January. However, through that game, the player that they were talking about the most was Matisse Thybulle, who obviously was looked upon as being perhaps a steal in the 2019 draft. He eventually landed on the Philadelphia 76ers. You know, obviously had a pretty good rookie season. But on the other end, there was a player that really stood out to me, a player that, you know, just seemed to command your attention. He just stood out because he seemed so in control, so in command, and was so steady as a point guard. And that guy is Peyton Pritchard, and it's for the exact reason that I'm mentioning. Some of the things, you know, I've used the term calling cards about some of the guy, about, you know, Amir Yurtseven and Tyler Bay, you know, that I've talked about previously. And, you know, for instance, with Amir Yurtseven, one of his calling cards was experience. Well, for me, what stands out about Peyton Pritchard more than anything, you know, stats, whatever it may be that you may consider, the first thing that stands out to me is just he has an infectious personality on the court. Number one, he's in control. It always seems like that whether he's on defense or he's on offense, there certainly is an admirable effort that's there, but it's a directed effort. It's not like this guy is just, you know, being chaotic. I've used the term before, kind of chaotic. You know, for instance, when it comes to Josh Jackson and his style of play for the Grizzlies, there seems to be more instinct, you know, than intelligence when it comes to his style of play. That's not an insult. That's just his style of play. Well, with Peyton Pritchard, there seems to not only be an energy, but a directed energy. He always seems to be in control of his actions and his intent, not only for himself, but for the offense. He truly seems to be in command, whether it's him being able to get a, you know, create a shot for himself, whether it's him directing an offensive play in the half court to set up his teammates for good looks, whether it's him being able to, you know, shoot from the mid-range, shoot from three, or perhaps, you know, get to the basket. Whatever direction he feels makes the most sense, Peyton Pritchard seems to be in command, and that definitely is a quality to have in a point guard, especially one that may not have that much projection in terms of Peyton Pritchard, in terms of his size and, you know, his limited athleticism. He makes up for that through constant effort and also through constant intent. He clearly has the basketball IQ to make a difference, and he knows that, and he knows that he can command an offense. The other thing about Peyton Pritchard that really stands out as well is that he just plays to win. He makes winning plays, even on defense where, you know, in all honesty, we'll talk about it a little bit in the second segment, but in all honesty, there's probably not that much to really write home about as far as his defense goes. But again, the effort is there to try to create chaos. He's constantly going to be causing disruption on the perimeter because he's not a player that takes plays off. He does know how to take on an incredibly high load from what you saw in over his junior and senior years at Oregon. And he also has the ability to know that if he can create disruption on defense, it'll make things easier for him on offense. So that's really what stands out about Peyton Pritchard right off the bat. When you see this guy play, he's one of those rare players, in my opinion, who when you see him play, you see him play one game like I did when he played against Washington, and you're immediately like, who is this guy? I love how he plays. I want to get educated about him, and that's what I did. I read more about him, found out that he was born and raised in Oregon. He was going to follow in his father's footsteps, who is a former football player at the University of Oklahoma, but instead stayed home. And he also is a former teammate of current Grizzlies guard Dylan Brooks. He has played with a lot of NBA talents and have played against a lot of NBA talents. So like we talked with Omer about with your Omer Yurtseven, though it may not be as extensive, there's plenty of experience on the end of Peyton Pritchard. But that's the great thing about him. When I say infectious, I truly mean it. You know, we'll throw out some stats. You could talk about athletic ability. You could talk about projection. You could talk about all that. But there are the intangibles. And I feel that that's a big part of Peyton Pritchard's game. The preparedness, him being in command, him being in control, the energy that he puts forth, the consistent energy that he puts forth. He creates plays when they don't appear to be there, just simply by his effort. And that's a big thing. When you combine effort and IQ, it a lot of times can really max out what a player can do, and sometimes that makes them more valuable with significantly more athletic and perhaps, you know, higher upside individuals. So when it comes to Peyton Pritchard, as far as his profile goes, the real big thing about him that stands out is his command, his energy, and his feel for the game. When he is on the court, you have to feel good about your team's chances to succeed, because he's basically going to will that to happen through not only his preparedness, but also his energy. And that's a great combination to have, you know, in looking at a prospect that you may be wanting to invest in. Speaking of investing, what we're going to do is we're going to invest some time into stats about Peyton Pritchard. Coming up, I'm going to let you know a few stats about his game that are really intriguing, and also a few aspects about his game that could be concerning about what his ceiling truly is at the next level. So without a doubt, intangibles, I think, add a lot of value to Peyton Pritchard's game, probably more so than a lot of other prospects in this draft and other prospects in general. A part of that is the fact that he is an older prospect, being that he's played 4 years in college. But the thing about it is this, is that I don't want for the fact that, you know, if Peyton Pritchard, I believe, is someone that deserves to have the intangibles of his game raved about. However, it's not meant to cover up the fact that he's not a talented ballplayer. He is a very talented ballplayer. The recognition and the awards that he won while in college, you know, show that. And as a matter of fact, he wouldn't have played in 144 games in college if it were not due to significant talent. But speaking of the awards, you know, he was a two-time All Pac-12 player. He's been a part of all Pac-12 tournament teams, one tournament MVP, and this past year was highly, highly decorated. A true legitimate candidate for Player of the Year, but he was a consensus All-American. He was the Pac-12 Player of the Year this past year, and he did win the Bob Cousy Award for the best point guard in the nation. Overall, through 4 years of playing, Peyton Pritchard averaged 13.5 points per game. He shot nearly 44% from the field. He shot nearly 38% from three. He averaged 2 3-pointers per game on basically five and a half shots. He also averaged 3.8 rebounds and 4.6 assists, as well as 1.5 steals. So it's not just that he was a point guard that scored. He was a guard that could also make plays. Now, in college, you usually don't see as much assists and as much rebounds. You don't see the counting stats like you do in the NBA. But as I stated, when it came to Peyton Pritchard, yes, the quantity was there. He had a lot of opportunities to produce counting statistics, but the quality was there as well. So the strengths of Peyton Pritchard's game, as we mentioned in the first segment, are the command and poise that he plays with. But there's also a lot more to it than just being able to, you know, look confident on camera when he's playing. Peyton Pritchard is someone that knows how to set up the offense, especially in the half court. Whether it's off the pick and roll, whether it's, you know, a detailed offensive scheme, Peyton Pritchard has the ability to be able to make sure that the play is executed the way that it needs to be. That's the value that he adds. Another aspect of Peyton Pritchard's game is that he knows how to find his shot. Where you know, for instance, in his senior year, he made 2.8 three-pointers on nearly 7 attempts per game, and he shot 41% from the field. A lot of Peyton Pritchard's shot come beyond the arc and in the mid-range. He's not really someone that's going to be able to drive by you that much. His game isn't really getting to the rim. He can get into the paint, but he's not someone who's going to be dynamic, kind of like John Morant, and getting to the rim consistently and being able to finish. He's someone, through his intelligence as well as his energy, he's able to create some space and be able to find his shot. He doesn't have to have that much space to find his shot, but you do want for him to have some space. Potential negative away from, you know, his ability to create his own shot at multiple levels is that he can take some crazy shots. I mean, I'm not saying that he's, you know, just going to, he's a shoot first mentality. What I am saying is that he can feel the responsibility on his shoulders and take ill-advised shots when maybe letting the play clock go a few seconds and then letting an offensive scheme develop would be the better route to go. So overall on offense in the half court, Peyton Pritchard can set up the offense. He can make sure that it executes, you know, consistently. He's a pretty efficient point guard. I don't know if he's going to be on the level of Tyus Jones, but per 40 minutes throughout his college career, he averaged 5.4 assists and 2.4 turnovers. That's pretty decent. In his in his senior season, he averaged 6.1 assists and three turnovers. So about a 2 to 2.5 assist to turnover ratio. That's still pretty encouraging from a point guard position. So I don't think he's ever going to be someone that's going to sit here and average 8 or more assists, you know, per night if he gets 25 to 30 minutes a game. I do think that one thing about Peyton Pritchard, though, is that he does know when to pass and when to take his shot. If he's able to get into the lane or get into the paint and the shot's not there, he's going to find the right guy to pass it out to in order to get a shot going from three. The other thing about Peyton Pritchard's game, as I mentioned, when the ball is not in his hands, is that he does have the energy and the awareness to be able to find his shot elsewhere. He's got some good smarts about him on the perimeter. While he likely will have the ball in his hand a lot of the times, his usage percentage was at 28% during his senior season, and you do want the ball in his hands with his ability to score and also his ability to command the offense. But even when it's not, he still has the ability to be a very respectable shooter. Peyton Pritchard's shooting talent is something that's going to have to be respected. Tankathon and other places indicate that he does have good shooting potential, which you want in your point guard today. Yes, there are some point guards who can still make, you know, themselves relevant without the ability to shoot. However, if you're a point guard who has limited athleticism like Pritchard does, shooting becomes even more critical. And fortunately for Pritchard, he does have good shooting ability. It's not only the ability to knock down shots from three and also from the mid-range, but also the ability for him to be able to know when to do it. He has some ability to pull up and shoot, and he also can do it off the ball. So a lot of versatility as a shooter. The big thing about Pritchard on offense is he's someone who can do a lot in front of the defender, because there's not going to be a lot of times where he's going to be able to get by the defender or behind the defender. But he is very effective even if the defender keeps Pritchard in front of him. And that's a very good quality to have in a point guard, in that it allows for him to be able to create plays even if he himself cannot get to the rim that often. The other big thing about Pritchard, though, that does stand out as far as a few concerns are on defense. And what you worry about that is that, you know, you can talk about numbers all day. You know, the offensive value that Peyton Pritchard offers is obviously outside of the box score. But in terms of the overall productivity that he offers, one potential risk that's there with Peyton Pritchard is, with all the value he potentially could add on offense in short spurts, does he potentially, you know, could he potentially be a big enough liability on the defensive end to negate that? I feel like that he is going to be a limited defender. I feel like that he's not ever going to be someone that you're going to be able to keep in the game maybe for 30 to 35 minutes and trust that he will make a difference defensively. But I do think, especially in starting his career as part of a second unit, you know, maybe as part in the G League to start out, I do think in short spurts, Peyton Pritchard can make a difference defensively just through energy, just through activity. You know, he averaged 1.5 steals per game per 40 minutes. He also averaged nearly 1.7 steals for his career. So he does have the intelligence, and through his energy, he can create some steals per game, probably one or so per game, you know, when he's in the NBA. But as far as him being a defensive stopper, it's not likely to be expected. He's going to be a limited and probably at times is going to be a liability. But is he going to be someone who, despite all his offensive value, clearly takes away from it on defense? I think he can avoid that. I think that he has the smarts and the intelligence to know what he can do based off his physical abilities and make a difference that way. Not that he's going to jump off the page as a defender, but just as someone that's going to be able to effectively guard his man. Yes, he may be beat. At times he could be a liability, but he can at least be someone that you can live with on defense and hope that he certainly makes up for it on offense. All in all, the overall offensive profile, or the overall profile for Peyton Pritchard, that basically stands out to me is this. He is a steady point guard. He is someone, in my opinion, who has the potential to be a high quality backup point guard. The guy that when your starting point guard is off the floor, you still know your team is in good hands because you have a true difference maker that could really be effective against other teams' second units. His own scoring ability is one thing, but it also the ability to keep the offense consistent at a respectable to above average level on offense while not just completely taking away all the value that he's adding on defense. I think that kind of defines Peyton Pritchard. And if you want to know something, if you want to question, you know, how consistent he can be with his productivity, just think about this. In college, Peyton Pritchard was only the fourth player in NCAA over the past 28 years in the NCAA. Peyton Pritchard was only the fourth player to produce 1,900 or more career points, 650 or more career assists, 550 or more total rebounds, and 200 or more career steals. Now, whenever you hear those statistical inquiries, I know that you probably might roll your eyes, but the significance is to show just how many different ways Peyton Pritchard was able to impact the game. The other three members, a few of them you probably have not heard of before, but one other member of that group really stands out as a good outcome for Peyton Pritchard in terms of his NBA career, and that's Jameer Nelson. When you look at the overall collegiate profiles of Nelson and Peyton Pritchard, they're pretty similar. Nelson was a bit more of a scorer. I think Peyton Pritchard was a bit better passer, and I think that Peyton Pritchard also was a bit better in terms of the steadiness of his approach. Nelson was able to get to the basket more, but Pritchard was a better shooter. And the reason I bring up Jameer Nelson as well is because I truly do think that that is a probably high-level career projection hope that many have for Peyton Pritchard. So speaking of Jameer Nelson, he's not the only person that I think stands out as a comparable to Peyton Pritchard. When we come back, I'm going to talk about a few players, previous players and current players, that I think compare to Peyton Pritchard. And because of that, we're going to talk about how, despite there not being a lot of obvious spots for him on the Grizzlies roster, he still makes plenty of sense for Memphis if they believe in him as a player. So after December 1st of this past year, I really started, when you started to watch the Grizzlies, you know, and I can only speak really from my own eyes, something that just jumped out to me is the clear advantage in a lot of games that the Grizzlies had when it came to when Ja Morant was off the court, the ability for Taylor Jenkins to hand the keys to Tyus Jones and still trust that the job will be done. And if you followed my work and other people's work over at Grizzly Bear Blues and through Locked on Grizzlies and other shows that I've done, a consistent theme that I felt that I put out there is that one really, really intriguing factor about the Grizzlies going forward is this, is that I don't think that they have the most talented duo of point guards in the NBA. They probably don't have, you know, there probably are 7 or 8 other teams that have more talented duos than Ja Morant and Tyus Jones. But I feel like you could make an argument the combination of Ja Morant and Tyus Jones are a top 5 1-2 punch at point guard in the NBA. And it's not because of their ability to play together or anything like that. They're not Kyle Lowry and Fred VanVleet, but they are a duo that for more than 40 minutes each night are a duo you don't have to worry about. They are a duo that you know when they are on the court, they are going to add value offensively. Now, a little bit of that may be negated because they do have defensive limitations. But Ja Morant, obviously, to his all-world talent, and Tyus Jones, due to his historic efficiency, developing shooting ability, and just the command that he plays with, the steadiness that he plays with, I think that they both complement each other's games well, and they provide the Grizzlies with a great floor commander for more than 40 minutes each night. And for a young team, that is a big boost to the overall productivity and consistency of the offense. So why would the Grizzlies be interested in a player like Peyton Pritchard when they've already got a very good future lined up at the point guard position, and they know that they are going to rely on that for 40 minutes or 40 or more minutes per night, as well as the fact that both of those players are tied up for multiple years? Well, for the Grizzlies, it's all about finding creating options for the future. If that 40th pick comes to, you know, the panel, if that 40th pick comes up to the podium and the Grizzlies just feel Peyton Pritchard is the most talented player on the board, they should take him. And the reason why that is simply because of this. They still are in a rebuilding mode. They still truly are in a mode to where they need to acquire as much talent as possible, regardless of fit, regardless of what could happen in the future in terms of, you know, well, we could create a logjam and all this different stuff. They should acquire as much talent as possible. Now, the difference between that philosophy and the philosophy that we talked about with brainstorming the backcourt is that you know what you have in a lot of the guys that are already in your backcourt. You've got multiple years of data to support what you've got in, like, Dylan Brooks and Garrett, I cannot talk, Grayson Allen, and the Anthony Melton and others. But with Peyton Pritchard, if you feel that his ceiling is at the level or higher than a lot of the other players at 40, it makes sense to potentially take him. Because the thing about Peyton Pritchard is this. With his intangibles, with his effort, with his mindset, you know, with the difference that he can make with his IQ, energy, you know, and consistent competitive spirit, what I think that does for Peyton Pritchard is it ups the percentages that he could become more than what many expect for his ceiling to be. He could become a more valuable NBA player despite obvious limitations in his athleticism, defense, and things such as that. When you look around at the scouting reports for Peyton Pritchard, some names are thrown out there as comparables that do make sense. You know, we've seen, you know, as a best case scenario, as an ideal case scenario, Fred VanVleet. You know, perhaps if it doesn't work out to where Peyton just stays on, you know, the level to where he really doesn't develop more, and he pretty much is what he is now. He's pretty close to being a finished product. Since Shabazz Napier may be thrown out there. I threw out the name Jameer Nelson based off the college production. Now, a bit of a difference is the similarities between Peyton Pritchard or Nelson are that they are point guards who have a score-first mentality more than being an elite passing-type source. They certainly are competent with their passing, and they can certainly direct an offense, both in transition and the half court, but they do have a score-first mentality. Their main value on offense is scoring. With Pritchard, it would be more shooting than it would Nelson with his ability to get to the rim. But overall, that's kind of a scale of what Peyton Pritchard could be. Different tiers of what his outlook could be. He could be a Shabazz Napier type player who is a competent, you know, decent enough backup point guard that you're content with. He could produce like Jameer Nelson in terms of his offensive value on the court when he's on the court. I don't think he'll be a starter as long as Nelson was in the NBA. Or if Peyton Pritchard truly does outperform any of the projections that are out there for him, he couldn't turn into a Fred VanVleet. One calling card of Fred VanVleet is the energy that he plays with. That fits Peyton Pritchard to a T. So the reason I bring up those tiers as far as what you feel Peyton Pritchard could be, if the Grizzlies truly do feel Pritchard could turn into that type of player, he has that type of potential to truly be a guy who adds enough offensive value to where he could play extended minutes next to Ja Morant on the court, yeah, you invest in that. You certainly take that chance because in the second round, you're going to be looking at risk regardless. And the difference, for instance, between, you know, like when I talked about Omer Yurtseven as being a front court player who to me just fits too specific of a role to really take a chance on. With Peyton Pritchard, the reason why you still take a chance on him, though he may fit just as specific of a role, is because of his shooting ability. So really when it comes to looking at Peyton Pritchard and how he fits on the Grizzlies, it's how much do the Grizzlies feel he can outperform the current projections that are out there. And there certainly are some positive and encouraging characteristics of Pritchard's game that may make you feel he could reach that type of level of productivity. However, you don't want to just completely ignore that, you know, that's a very ideal way of looking at things. That it may just not work out. Fred VanVleet, for instance, is the exception to the rule of the profile that he showed when he came out of college versus a ton of other guys who just simply do not materialize. They may stay in the NBA for a while, but you have far more guys who just become regular talents or who don't stay in the NBA for a while with a VanVleet type profile coming out of college than turn into VanVleet. At the end of the day, I do think there's a very good chance that Pritchard turns into, he has the potential to be one of the better backup point guards in the league and also has the ability to be a point guard who can lead one of the better bench units in the NBA. So again, why would the Grizzlies want to invest in a draft pick that they hope could become the version of something that they already have? Well, if you think that there's a good chance Peyton Pritchard is going to be able to reach a level higher than his expected ceiling, it gives you options, as I mentioned. Think about it. With Tyus Jones, say next year he continues his solid play. As a matter of fact, he steps forward with his ability to shoot. Meanwhile, Peyton Pritchard's in South Haven, you know, leading the hustle. Well, the Grizzlies have Tyus Jones for 2 more years at $8 to $9 million. Tyus Jones is performing well, the bench is performing well, but for some reason, the Grizzlies just are not in playoff contention. For instance, say the Warriors and a few other teams are really taking off, and just by the trade deadline, the Grizzlies, there's just not much a chance of Memphis moving forward. If that's the case, they've got Pritchard in South Haven, they've got Tyus Jones performing well as their backup point guard. Perhaps a contender comes calling for Jones because they want the ability to not only have him controlled through, you know, the 2021-2022 season, but he also is an expiring contract and truly does offer value to a contender's second unit. You know, we saw one team that really could have used that this year, and that was the LA Clippers. Say that type of scenario plays out. Well, the reason, through investing in Pritchard, you were able to not only invest in a guy who's going to cost over the next few years maybe a fourth or a fifth of what Jones costs and can still offer you 70 to 80% of the production Jones does, but now you've been able to take Tyus Jones and turn him into valuable future assets. That is a very, again, that is a very ideal way of looking at things. When it comes to Peyton Pritchard, you can look at the ideals of what he could potentially could be. You could look at the ideas of how he, in specific situations, really could add value to Memphis. But those are some very specific examples. So if the Grizzlies do, so it comes back to what the Grizzlies look at Pritchard as being. If they feel that he has the ceiling of being a very effective backup point guard who potentially could play with Ja Morant, you know, at times, then they should probably look into picking him. However, if the Grizzlies feel that Peyton Pritchard basically's overall value is kind of on the level of other players that are going to be available at that pick, I think then need becomes more of a consideration. The ability for a wing that can play next to Ja Morant, the ability for someone that could add defense, the ability for someone that can do stuff in the front court, that may take precedent more if the talent level of players that are on the board with Peyton Pritchard are equal with his. So if the Grizzlies think that two or three other players who could play more wing or who could potentially offer more perimeter defense than Pritchard can are there with Pritchard, and the Grizzlies feel they could just offer as much overall value with their ceilings as Pritchard can with time, I feel like those guys will be a preference. So at the end of the day, Peyton Pritchard becomes someone that I think the Grizzlies, I would not be disappointed at all if they invested their pick in Peyton Pritchard. I think getting him into the fold with our ability that we've shown to develop players, I think it's encouraging. I certainly do think that Memphis could do a lot with Pritchard's skill set and could make him more than many expect for him to be. However, for that type of investment to work out in terms of long-term value, it's likely that Pritchard will eventually be the replacement for Tyus Jones. And I don't necessarily know if you want to look at getting a draft pick to really be valuable. I don't know if you want it to be from that perspective. And as a result, while I think Peyton Pritchard makes some sense and I wouldn't be disappointed, I do also think that if the Grizzlies find other players, especially wing depth or, you know, front court shooting ability or players who have higher defensive upside, if the Grizzlies find that there are players out there who are just bigger than Peyton Pritchard, I think that they'll probably go with them over Pritchard, and it makes sense because not only does it fit what the team needs for the future, it also allows for there to be the potential to where you could play them in more lineups, for instance, next to Ja Morant, your best player. Can't thank you enough for taking time to join us today. We especially want to appreciate you doing it. You know, Darren, I know it's a busy probably weekend. The big thing about it is, though, is that, you know, this is just the first of a couple of prospect profiles I'm going to drop today. We will continue this next week with some more intriguing names, some names that are out there as far as being projected to the Grizzlies with their 40th pick, so make sure to stick with us next week. Again, you can find myself at StatsSAC, the show at Locked On Grizz, and the iPad wherever iPads are available. Spotify, Stitcher, the iPad app on your phone. Until next time, we'll talk to you soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.